Hello and welcome to the NoobTube Comcast version 3.0 episode 9. Guests? Where are we going? We don't need no stinking guests. And if there are no guests on the show, that can only mean you are stuck with your two regular hosts. I'm your friendly neighbourhood Italian plumber, travelling to your ears by bouncing on the backs of turtles and walking mushrooms. I'm Little G. Joining me, he breathes up, he breathes down, he has more huff and puff than Kirby, it's the perpetual mouth breather, it's Mixed Up Zombies. I am Uz.
Hello.
Oh god, what's that noise?
I've lowered my mic settings from last week a little, and I will be muting myself more often, so that shouldn't be a problem anymore, so, and it will not be as bad or worse than Smokey's Beard Russell's, so.
Beard Russell, TM. Mm-hmm. The trademark, Beard Russell. So, yep, having had Toolchick in on the show last week, and thank you ever so much once again, Toolchick, for agreeing to join us. And we're planning another interview episode next week, but this time we're back onto our regularly scheduled community show. So what we'll be including there will be the notable threads that have caught our eye on the forums over the last couple of weeks, whatever UGC and reviews have been generated by the lovely YouTube community members, and finally any events that people might like to join in. So without further ado, let's crack on with what's been going on the forums. And one of the ones that really caught my eye was the pre-order and console exclusive bonus problems posted by my good friend and yours, Mixed Up Zombie. So, Musk, what principally made you write this thread then?
Family LA Noir. Is that how you say it? LA Noir? There you go.
Wow.
That you have over, I think it's like 4 or 5 different pre-orders.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pre-orders, man. And 2 of them actually are story related. Like, they're actual missions. That's not right, you know? I will get the actual information, but it is, and it's been happening a lot. It is,
yeah.
It's just overblown, and like I said, I mean, this hasn't happened at the very beginning. I definitely like the thread I posted. I also had a video on it featuring my favorite comedy trio, the Mega 64, and in that they weren't exactly being angry at pre-orders, but they were being angry, well, not angry, because it just kind of happened, and it was really happening at that time. This is an older video where it's like the 360 gets shafted on everything. Like, you can play as the Joker on the PS3. You can play as Darth Vader on the PS3. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they
went
crazy with the ideas Mega 64 usually does. But I'm kind of a completist kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this really burns my ass. Because it is I can't complete a game completely anymore.
Yeah, and this in a way almost goes back to your earlier thread, doesn't it, about what does completion mean to you? Because there are a lot of people for whom completing a game has to do with getting, sort of owning or having experienced every single aspect of that game. And they're with a lot of these pre-order bonuses, when they're exclusive to a particular store and you'll have several separate exclusives with each order. So, and if you want to have that completed thing of experiencing every single aspect of the game, the only way to do that and to see everything that's been created for that game is to actually almost pre-order it 3 times, or wait for however many months it takes before the pre-order bonus for that particular store becomes freely available for the rest of the users. So yeah, I mean,
and sometimes it never becomes freely available. Like, I had to buy the Mafia 2 DLC, some of it. Because I just like having everything. I'm weird like that. But I should be facilitated because I'm willing to spend money. I'm not willing to spend $180 for it, but I'm willing to spend an extra $10 for something that shouldn't matter. But sometimes it does matter. Sometimes it's actually there. And sometimes it actually changes the game experience. Like, I remember on Epic Battlecry, another podcast I've listened to, they were talking about, we're also talking about L.A. Noire's pre-order, and they were talking about also Red Dead Redemption, which had this war horse, and the war horse is very much faster than all the other horses. This is like, I think it's like Native American war horse, and it's much faster than all the other ones, and, so, and it changed this person's experience. Why would you give a game-changing experience, something that changes the game any way, to not allow people to play it? And I can understand, to some extent, console exclusive stuff more, because that's just straight up business deals. That's, yeah. And also I have all the consoles, so mwahahaha. definitely that pre-order is stupid, because I don't like pre-ordering games that much. And I can't really get all the and it's obvious why they do it, is because if I pre-order for the $60, there's no chance I'm going to buy it used for the $30, or if I buy it used, it doesn't matter because they don't really make any money on it, or buy it cheaper later down the road, so they're just incentivizing it, and I can understand that, but like I said at the end of the thread, wouldn't they make more money if they give you, said, okay, $3 or $1 or $2? I know people don't like microtransactions, but I think it would be better in this case if they allowed that. And sure, there's stuff that makes sense, like hopefully makes sense. Like Microsoft, I think, gave Rockstar, like, I think it was like $100 million. To do the first two GTA episodes from Liberty City only on the 360 for a limited period of time, and same thing somewhat with Black Ops.
Yep,
that happened. That. So I think it just, or actually it's either just came out on PS3, and I don't think it's ever coming on Windows. That's another thing that I hate. A lot of DLC will never come out on a PC. Dead Space Severed.
Where it's expected to be free.
Well, I don't even care if it's not free. Dead Space 2 Severed, this two-mission DLC pack, which is a story missions, and it has different characters and everything, and is a full-on game. Well, it's a full-on DLC thing, add-on, but that is never going to be put in to the main PC game.
I think just my final thought on this is that I don't mind stuff that enhances the gaming experience, but anything that splits, that excludes people, and splits the community in any way, just seems needlessly divisive.
Are you saying that for all DLC in general, or are you just saying for this certain thing?
Like you said, console specific DLC, I don't particularly like it, but it's understandable where it comes from. And if you've got the right console, then, you're lucky. If you haven't, then tough shit. I think if it's sort of withheld from you, in a way that means that you'll never experience that particular aspect of the game, then I think it kind of sucks a little bit, really.
Well,
and it's worth noting that with a lot of this stuff is still developing. This kind of thing never existed. This sort of stuff wasn't even on the cards 5 years ago,
or even like two to three years ago. I mean, that's when it started. But I'm going to use Epic Battlecry one more time. This was earlier down the line, just talking about console exclusive bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were saying you can have it both ways, developers. Either be multi-platform or don't. And that's basically what they're trying to do. It's like, oh, we want the money, but we're gonna get some money here, and then we're gonna get some money there because we got special stuff here and there. And it's just like, stop doing that. And it's just, it makes my hobby look. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing. Somewhat happens with movies. Sometimes there's pre-orders, exclusives if you buy a DVD.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near as common, and it's nowhere near as aggressive. Usually, you don't buy a piece of content that goes, like, I don't care. I also said this on Friday about collector's editions. I don't care if I get, well, I mean, I might be interested in it, but I don't mind if you have a collector's edition that has, like, an L.A. Noir hat, an L.A., like, a costume or something, or, like, an actual, like, in the world that we live in right now. I'm not talking about video game-wise. But when you put content, that's kind of where I'm drawing the line, because that's, and I can understand, and then, but I can also understand if you care enough about this game, the console exclusives, the collector's editions, they all go out the window. Because if you care about this game, you're going to get the best game experience on the day it comes out. But when you have multiple pre-orders going to multiple places, you can't. That's where the pre-order has that problem. I had to buy the game multiple times for codes, which is absolutely ridiculous. Everything else, I can understand to some extent, but that is absolutely ridiculous, and I just can't. I mean, I can wrap my head around it, why they did it, but it's an aggressively stupid idea.
Sure. And not wanting to drag the conversation on any further, but I suppose to your point, it's just a representation of where the fact that this is now an industry.
Mm-hmm. Like I said in the thread, I mean, we're not here to make art. We're here to make financial choices when it comes to video games, and we just have to deal with that to some extent. You shouldn't be hurting the customer when the customer is giving you your money. You shouldn't bleed them dry.
Sure, but the other thing we have to be cautious of as gamers who treat this whole thing as this industry as our our hobby, is that just a counterpoint to this whole thing is that nor should we feel
entitled.
That we have entitled. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You have a point.
This is the content that the people have. These people have created. And it's theirs to use how they see fit. But and as long as it continues to make money, this is what they'll keep doing.
Yeah, I mean, if, like I said, it's financial, and if they think that this is the correct way to do so, I'm not going to agree with it, and I might even use my dollar to disagree with it, but there's only so much I can do, because it is their financial choice, and what is one problem beneath millions of successes?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Well, let's move on, because we're nearly 10 minutes into the show, and
are we?
We've got one thing. Yeah. So next up is our Irish friend Way to Blaze in the culture section of the forum. I forgot how to speak for a second there. Poses the question to the Noobtube community: what's your favourite new series on the current generation of consoles? So basically, any new series of games that came out, on the consoles that we're playing on the moment. I don't know why I'm trying to explain this any further than it needs explaining. God, you're gonna have to help me out, Maz.
I don't have any help because I don't know what mine is.
Yeah, no, actually, me either.
We could do a top five or something.
If you really pushed me, I'd probably say Mass Effect.
I haven't
played the second game yet.
Me neither.
But even on the basis of that first game, I think I'd probably say Mass Effect, just because, as a way to start up a new franchise, they did very, very well with that. I'm sure a lot of people might say possibly maybe Dragon Age.
Yeah, that's similar to Mass Effect in a way. It's not the same game, but I can see the similarities.
Yeah, having said that, I'm hearing less than positive things about Dragon Age 2 on the basis of the demo.
Well, that's a sequel. I mean, if people still like the first one, but who knows? The demo could be a bad representation of the game.
True. Okay, so that's something for other people to ask.
I'm just going to shoot out some ideas real quick, because I know we're going over on time. But I was going to say Darkness, but the Darkness is an IP related to a comic book. I was going to say Sam & Max, but that's been a 1994 video game, and that is related to a comic book as well. So I am struggling. I can't say Dante's Inferno even, because that's related to a book very, 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 very loosely.
Extremely loosely. Loosely that it may as well not
Although, be. They're never going to make a sequel to this, but how about Limbo?
But then you couldn't call that a series, could you?
No.
Unless you say that it's this year's Braid.
It's exactly the same.
It's essentially the same game. They might as well just call it Braid 2.
I'm just looking at my beaten games list. I can't think of anything. Mirror's Edge isn't having a sequel, so that makes that a hard one. Mass Effect. Mass Effect is mine as well.
Dead Space, Gears of War.
Phoenix Wright or Mass Effect?
Phoenix Wright, for a word. Honestly. Yes. Right, okay. I think this conversation's hit its nadir. Let's move on. The next thread that caught my eye was one
annual.
Yes, is that right?
Yes, it is. Oh, manual.
Yes, it is. Yeah, who is prompted by some of the news that came out around the
PDC?
Infamous 2. And the additional game modes that have been added into this. And there's a similar sort of thing that happens with a lot of sequels here, where the first game might have just been a solely single-player experience, and then they've added in more features for the second version of the game to make it a bit bigger and a bit more impressive. And try and give the game...
Badass.
Yeah, exactly. Give the game a longer tail, what have you. And in this case, it seems like they've made the decision, instead of adding in multiplayer, they've gone to this thing of allowing players to create their own levels. Have I got that right?
Essentially, yeah. You could create... My understanding, and this is a very loose understanding, is it would be like normal Infamous world, but like part of it would be like I could... Like, at the end of the trailer, I think this was a misnomer. It showed like a million little dots and like made by this. But I think like it would be kind of Little Big Planet-y, where I would pick a level, play it, and it could be absolute. And there's a large availability. Like, it gives you tons of stuff to do.
Right.
Like in the trailer, they showed one part that was the coolest, in my opinion. Where, it was like platform, like it was just going through, and it's like platform, and it's like Cole jumping on barrels that are suspended in the sky and stuff like that, and like it was really cool. But, the question at hand isn't about Infamous 2 exactly, it's about, what is a better use of someone's time? What is a better, choice?
Mm-hmm.
Making something, to give a game a longer too, if you need to. Nowadays, it feels like it's either multiplayer or give it some kind of aspect that can make it interchangeable or change it up. And some of these games have it a little more, like, easy to use. Like, I'm not even just going to say, like, Little Big Planet, because that's the obvious answer, but, like, Torchlight has a mod editor. That counts. Yeah. That's, I mean, if the people at Runic Games made Torchlight and made the mod editor, from what I know, I might be wrong on that, but I count that, or Elder Scrolls had a mod editor, or a level editor. You could create your own stuff that was made by Bethesda. That counts, and that game doesn't have multiplayer. So, that definitely is an option. But whether it's a better option, I can't say for certain. Would you?
Sure, sure. I think it entirely depends on the game, the type of game and stuff like that. And there are games that have suffered from having multiplayer modes shoehorned in, and there are games that would not suit having, a UGC type mode added in. And the point I made in the thread, and I think I was kind of quite keen to make here, was that it's not necessarily always the case that it's an either or choice. It's not just the case of saying, okay, we've got 100 guys in our development studio, and 25 of them are going to work on the UGC, and we're not going to have any more
editor. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not so sure.
Well, I mean, like, I could say, well, Dead Space 2 had not so great multiplayer, so maybe it would be good to do a UGC thing, but that engine is not an easy engine. Guess what engine it's running on?
I have no idea.
The Godfather 2 engine from 2009 or 2008.
So basically, they're doing a marvelous job, even just to get a game out of it.
They're just changing the engine, and it takes them a lot of work. So it wouldn't be easy to make a UGC. I know, obviously, you're not just going to give them SDK tools and say, "Here you go," because that's not how it works with most of this UGC stuff. But it wouldn't be that easy to make it a UGC when even them, they're having to spend months on a single section of the game.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, it's a very difficult thing to do well, I think, in fairness. And I'm a Halo fanboy, so I'm going to say it, but I think Reach does this stuff very well with the Forge mode.
Oh, yeah. Reach is definitely something. I haven't played it, but
no. Well, yeah, it's got some impressive tools in there for that, exactly that type of thing. All right, okay. So let's not dwell on that too much. So another thread which kind of made me chuckle a little bit was one posted by Sunny Sunflower in the gaming culture section again, about a site called the Online Gamers Anonymous. And it's a questionnaire that is supposed to help define whether you are addicted to, or whether you're an excessive gamer. And it doesn't sound, excessive is a relative term, I think. And also, I'm not clear from this questionnaire how many questions you have to answer yes to before you are determined as excessive. Do I have to answer all those questions positively? I don't know. But people are posting in their answers, and also some explanations and some excuses about why they've answered yes.
Well, I only play about 12 to 15 hours a day, but I'm getting money and stuff, so I think it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing 12 to 15 hours is bad, because, I mean, that is a possibility if you don't have anything to do that day. Well, maybe 15 hours is a little excessive.
But it's people who saying, I'm not addicted to MMOs, but I do, of course, have 300 hours on my...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly, on my APB character.
They didn't even have 300 hours for all of APB's existence.
That game wasn't running for 300 hours. Oh, tragically. So there you go. So pop in there, stick in your responses to the questionnaire. And are you an excessive gamer? Yeah, exactly. So the next one that that caught my eye. And sorry, I'm completely taking over this section. I don't think I mind.
Just got, it's your section. You're the host, remember?
Oh yeah. Sorry. What am I saying? Nuoli.
I think that's a or Nuoli.
Nuoli.
Maybe that's like good. A koala.
He is a Hawaiian god. He's posted this quite a detailed discussion, and I found this really, really interesting about the notion of the black box in gaming. And basically the black box is just a way of a term used to describe, any kind of closed calculations where the game hides from you how it reaches the decision it's reached, as it were, whether or not you are successful. So you look at a very direct game like Call of Duty or Modern Warfare, and it's very, very clear, you know, you shoot a person, and if the reticule was on their head, when you press the trigger, you hit them in the head. And then you look at a game like Mass Effect 1, where you could be aiming a person's head with your sniper rifle, pull the trigger, and then the game goes away, rolls some dice against all your various stats of accuracy and the weapon that you're using, and then tells you whether or not you were successful in hitting that person in the head. And this notion of, well, are there times when having this kind of disguised calculation going on, is it best to know what's going on? Do people prefer to be able to say, okay, my stats are, I'm going to be accurate 80% of the time, or would they just prefer that to be something that isn't explained to them, so occasionally they will fail even though they think they've been successful in their inputs? So I'm not explaining it very well, it has to be said, but I just thought it was, again, something that seems to be generating quite a bit of discussion, and it's prompted some very, very interesting comments, particularly from Plankton, who once again has described himself as a grognard, and I really must go away and look up what a grognard is.
I don't know what it is, but I think as long as you're in the right state of mind, I don't mind the black box.
Yeah.
Like Fallout 3, I don't mind that my headshots don't always eviscerate and blow up someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's how the game works. I mean, you can cripple their head, but you can't just, depending on the weapon, you can't just one-shot them.
Yeah. So, and it's mostly in things like that are RPGs,
mm-hmm.
Or that sort of thing, where it's about your progress, and you start from having relatively low skills, and you develop all the way through, and by the end of the game, you're being much more accurate, or you're much more likely to do more damage with a particular, you know, attack or whatever that might be. Or it might be even something like a lock picking,
mini game or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, do you need to know exactly how that's being calculated and how your likelihood of success is being calculated? So, yeah, very interesting, I thought, overall. Okay, well, let's move on from that again. Another thread posted up by a friend of the show, I'm going to say, just because I can. I'm going to say Manio has posted in the off-topic discussion, asking for people's thoughts and opinions on the paranormal. So ghostly ghouls and goblins, do people believe in them? Is it all nonsense? And yeah, again, it's nice when we can move away from something that is strictly gaming related once in a while. And a subject like the paranormal, is a bit like religion, that it's always guaranteed to generate some debate, and get your skeptics wading in against people who describe themselves as having an open mind. So yeah, I think it's, very interesting. And whilst I am enormously skeptical about the whole thing, I also do get quite spooked out by ghost stories and stuff like that. So, hopefully if people have had any kind of paranormal type experiences, they can go in and write them in that thread, because I love reading that sort of stuff, even if I do think it was probably had a rational explanation, whatever it might be that happened. And how about yourself, Muzz? Do you have a...
the only thing I can say about this is I used to watch, like, not like ghost stories, but like, this is out, like, Discovery Kids or Discovery Channel things on ghosts a lot.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed those. I didn't take them completely seriously because, yeah, there's a 19th century old ghost haunting this castle or whatever. But it was and then they're like, well, it's lighting and it's electricity. But how about when they didn't have electricity? How did ghosts pop out then? Well, this is how it happened. It was interesting, but it was all, you know, whatever. It's not. It's kind of cool, but. You know, it's ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
What more can you say?
Well, yeah, I'm scarred by the whole thing because the school I went to, it was a really old one and apparently was haunted.
So did the ghosts? What do you mean you're scarred? Like, did the ghosts touch you or something?
No, just that it spooked me out when I was 9 years old and they told me that I was.
Thought there were actual ghosts. Like,
No, what it basically was that the older kids used to take the piss out of the younger kids and wind them up. I've got over that now, and I now realize.
For some reason, when you first said, oh, I had a ghost experience, I thought, for some reason, like, Penfold got possessed or something. I don't know why.
He started speaking, and his head rotated round inside his collar.
Your rock band sucks. Get rid of the rock band.
Exactly. Just, yeah. Oh, God. I could actually kind of see that happening.
He hates it.
Yeah, will you shut that fucking thing up? For those who don't know, by the way, Penfold is my dog. Who did not like it when I was playing Rock Band in the in front of the TV when he was trying to sleep. But there you go. So, yes. The paranormal, and it'd be good to get people's thoughts on that as well. And one from the media forum, a thread from the media forum that I'm really, really keen to hear people's thoughts on, particularly in light of one of the conversations that we had with Tall Chick last week and her love for British music, is Sonny's American versus British music, or specifically rock music thread. And, you know, I'm not a one versus the other kind of guy. I think both types of rock music have merit. I would love to hear what people think about this. And if only just so people start posting up, specific examples of songs that they like, because I love clicking on all these links and we've got, as well as, American, noobtubers and British noobtubers, we also have, a few guys from Germany and other countries jumping in with Scandinavian metal and stuff like that. So it's a very interesting thread to go into and start listening to some music that you may previously not have heard of before, which I'm all about new experiences, which is good news.
I was going to... started singing the song Pop Music, but then I realized it was about pop music and not rock music.
Yeah, everybody's
talking about rock music?
Hang on a second. That's not right.
But, I'm British. Well, I'm not British, but I'm for the British when it comes to music. Probably because I haven't listened to enough American... Well, it's hard to classify rock music.
This is the thing. And also, Sonny kicks it off by making a comparison between Aerosmith and Oasis. And whilst it's true to say that Aerosmith are kind of a very archetypal American band, and Oasis, certainly in the 90s anyway, kind of defined a lot of aspects of what kind of made up British music. But that is very much a comparison of apples and oranges. They're two very, very different things.
Well, I was gonna say that before I realized that just a second ago that rock music is a very large idea, mm-hmm. I was thinking about this thread only in the 60s. Like, purely, maybe late 70s, but purely 60s. So yeah. I might have a different opinion in that case. Via, I like, and it depends what do you consider this metal or this heavy rock music and stuff like mm-hmm. that. It's hard to know, but yeah. And my chair almost broke.
I was gonna say, yeah, someone breaking in your door there or something.
I think the back broke on this chair, but I'll be able to sit, so at least it's not as bad as Gravy's.
I was gonna say, for the love of God, don't move. We can't.
No,
have
it's fine. Actually,
we can't have another Gravehound moment.
Now it finally, there's no more squeak.
Ah.
It fixed. Okay, so,
you beat the squeak out of your chair.
So let's move on beyond squeaking chairs and go on to our big topic this week.
Yes. Yes.
I'll
so this was
a, take it.
Yeah, so this was a thread that, you yourself, kind of, revisited after almost a year.
Yeah, it's been a year, and that's why I apologize for any necro-threading,
but necro-posting. But it's one that I think always bears revisiting, because as a site, we're always looking at how we do things, the type of language that we're using, and the type of output UGC and reviews that people want to see. And the threading question is... one that was initially posted by Plankton, like I say, a year ago, called Game Critiques, an Alternative to Reviews, But How? And I must confess, it took me a while to wrap my head around what he was saying, or at least what I think he's saying. Mm. And it's the difference between when we're writing reviews, either for the site or in general, should we be writing it as a... in inverted commas review, or should we be writing it as an in inverted commas critique? I think it's a really interesting thing. So could you just talk through sort of your thinking in terms of what you, when you went back to revisit the thread, what you were thinking and kind of why you brought it back to life?
Well, I just want to see more content. That's mainly the thing. And this was something that was interesting and I couldn't, I mean, hopefully us talking about it spices it up a little because no one's responded to the post I had, which was I'm still struggling with the idea of the review and the critique and what's the difference between an in-depth review
mm-hmm.
and a critique. And then, and also, as Maxim points out, to some extent, he has a different opinion. Now, this was Maxim from a year ago, so maybe he's changed, but he has a different opinion than Plankton of what a critique is, and the methodology of it, and everything. And we only ever got one critique, and it was by Good Enough. And I want more. That was mainly my main reason for bringing this up. And I want to do this on my own. But I need a little more help. So if someone would be willing, like I said in the thread, if you'd be willing to help me out, and we'll definitely talk about it more than just this, I definitely think that would be most helpful to me, but I just like the idea of something more. Because I also feel like we don't have any reviews anymore on our forum. Let me preface that by saying we don't have any non-new game reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind that too much, but I just like content. I just like reading about people's stuff, and it just seems like we have like a couple people who do purely new reviews, maybe one person who does old reviews, and that's it.
Sure.
Currently.
Sure. So can you just talk through in your mind what you see as the difference between what defines a review and what defines a critique? Is there anything that what sort of have you got to in your mind in terms of what defines those two things?
Well, it's much more narrative based.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing. It's much more telling a story and less giving a price. It's what my understanding of it is. Plankton could tell us it's wrong, and maybe Plankton's wrong. I'm not going to say he's wrong, because that's rude. But I think it's a lot harder to put down, but it's hard to explain, and
sure.
can't really say much more.
Yeah, I mean, my take on it, I mean, and I remember this thread from back a year ago. My take on it at the time was that kind of a review was a description of the game and the mechanics of the game and the I suppose just how the game works and whether or not it is a good thing to spend your money on and therefore a valid buy. And I guess in a way that's kind of what you traditionally expect to get from a magazine where and I always pictured it in my head that a review would end with a score or a recommendation to buy or not buy.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately that's what you would, I suppose a review is what you would want to get from a magazine, say, if you bought a gaming magazine, you'd want to know.
Well, I wouldn't.
Should I spend my money on this particular? Well, I suppose, yeah, maybe not these days, but certainly in the old days, you went to gaming magazines to say, okay, I need to know what games are coming out and which ones are going to be of interest to me and which are the best of the games that I can buy, therefore, so that I only buy the good ones. Whereas a critique is probably something that is more relevant to a social setting like the forums, and certainly resonated with me when I first heard Tobin and Yuzo speak about why they set up the main podcast, was that they got bored of gaming reviews in magazines and on the internet, because they just talked about, you know, is it a first-person shooter or is it a third-person shooter? Is it an RTS or is it a 4X game? And then, how does it work? And very little time was spent talking about how the game made you feel and what the experience of the game was. And that difference to me was the difference between a review and a critique. However, having gone back to the thread since you kind of revisited it, I'm not sure whether that my description there matches with what Plankton was saying was his description. And it seems that a lot of it seems to be down to the level of detail, and what is focused on seems to be the defining thing between a review and a critique. So I don't know. Certainly if I was using those words of review and critique, my description was how I'd sort of divide those two things out. But I think actually what Plankton had in mind when he set the thread up all that time ago, I actually think he was thinking of something quite different. And if I could make a sort of a comparison, I don't want to jump ahead, but too much to what we're going to be talking about in a moment. But there are lots of reviews in the review forum that are what I would think of as a traditional review, that talk about, you know, the game, the graphics, you know, and they'll break it down. Okay, what are the graphics like? What's the sound like? What is the gameplay like? You know, is this game fun? What's the story like? And then you look at something like the things that HP is producing, where he's saying, okay, here's what happened to me when I played this game. And his reviews are part retelling of the story, part kind of impression, part kind of almost like a blog, as it were. And it's that more humanist, more personal version of a write-up of a game that I prefer, compared to something that it just lists the pluses and minuses and merits of a game, and then says at the end, okay, this game is a 7.5 or a 6.2, you know, and that's kind of where I'm coming from on critique versus review.
Definitely. I just, you know, I mean, I just like, you know, really getting in depth. And we've talked about, and I've done stuff like this before, the early edition, the first and the second edition of the ReviewCast, the podcast I had, which is still around. You can still get on iTunes. We just covered one game, but the problem is I missed the point of that. I still did the graphics. I still did this. I still did that. You know, where it just should have been a discussion, but I felt like it had to be structured at some point, but I don't think that was the right way of doing so.
Well, you know, I mean, often...
I mean, it's in the past now, I can't go back, but...
Sure. But, I mean, often those points give you a springing point to then go on to discuss certain aspects of a game in more detail, and then you start blurring that line between, you know... Does this game have good graphics? Yes, no. And start talking more about, you know, the art style and what it reminded you of, and whether that kind of helped to draw you into the story or not. And, you know, and that's what makes it feel, you start to get a feel for, okay, I know that Muzz likes this particular type of game. You know, I've enjoyed, you know, that type of game as well. If he tells me that he finds this sort of thing more, you know, I think the same as him on, you know, about what, you know, whatever it's, you know, Dante's Inferno or whatever, you know, I know that he likes books that are incredibly loosely based on classical works of fiction, so do I. and feature boobs. Therefore I should, you know, maybe I might enjoy that game as well. It's probably similar to the discussion we were having earlier about UGC content. Or a UGC mode in games versus a multiplayer mode in games. It probably isn't a black or white thing. There's probably a spectrum of review, critique, and we all probably exist somewhere on that line.
I don't think that there's a, in the way that you're saying it, that there isn't a right and a wrong way. I will agree there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about, say, okay, this game only can have a review, or this game can only have a critique. I think, but those are available to both. Like, I can describe how I had Tetris Effect or Geometry Wars Effect, even though that game has no story whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, and you can because you can go into as much depth as you like, and we're skirting dangerously close to the "our games are art" discussion here, but you know, even the most basic game has had enough thought gone into it that means that you have there's enough there for you to have a discussion about and start to talk about the emotions that it brings out in you, or the memories that it stirs in you, and all that sort of stuff. And so. That's where you move beyond, Geometry Wars is a twin stick shooter and it's very challenging, and if you have Drekkmaster on your friends list, you will never ever be the top of your scoreboard. Or you can say, this game reminds me of how I used to go down to the arcades when I was a kid and pump, you know, tons of change into the Asteroids game just so I could be at the top of the leaderboard. And then, you know, you could then start weaving that whole thing into a history of score attacks in games over the years. It's not only the case that, you know, you can only write a critique about a 100-hour RPG, and you could only write a review about a game like, you know, a game I picked up the other night, Pac-Man CEDX, which is the simplest game in many ways. But it's not as if you can only write one type of review or critique on one or the other. In my mind, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the person who came up with this terminology, so it may well be that Plankton will listen to the show and think that we're both a pair of idiots and are talking complete nonsense.
Well, my only real reason, and I hope this was your reason too, just to bring thought to this and bring attention back to it, because that was my main purpose.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So hopefully that happens, and hopefully people get interested. And please post in the thread, because we would love to see more interest in this, because I for sure want to have this keep going.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So hopefully that was enough discussion on that point. Should we move on to the UGC in review section?
Sure, I'll just give me 1 second. Okay, as the UGC in reviews guy, I will take this over. I'm just going to go for the reviews, not so quickly, semi-quickly. Slickshot did a Killzone 3 review, and he did it very timely, very good. That's very complimentary. Good job there. Ultra V2.0 did Marvel vs. Capcom 3 review. I didn't read the whole thing, because I knew I wanted the game, but it seemed pretty good, and it got some kudos, so kudos to you. El Manio, who is my favorite video reviewer, he had a DMC4 review. He kind of syndicates his content a little on YouTube. And then he had a Bayonetta review, or maybe he's just busy. He had a Bayonetta review, which he had put out today on his YouTube channel as well. His reviews are, those are either that, or jams, or the bugabuzz, or what I aspire to be when I do video reviews. Which, I kind of want to do video reviews again, but I don't know if I have the time. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe every month I'll have one. We'll see. But, or video critiques. I was going to say that, but, and I'm going to say the big one for last, but we have the Killzone. This isn't the big one, but it's still a nice UGC. Killzone 3 Hellcast Edition unboxing. Linko64, he didn't do a very good Little Big Planet 2 unboxing. He realized that because his camera wasn't very good, and he put the camera too close to all the stuff in there. I feel he improved greatly and showed off the Hellcast edition for what it's worth, and I got a much better facsimile. Even if it's not the American version, I got what you guys are getting over there for the special edition, the super special edition for Killzone 3, and that Hellcast helmet looks cool.
When you put it on, does it force you to put on a British accent?
I think isn't it German? I thought the Hellcast were all German.
Now they're all like, oh, I might.
I haven't played much Killzone, so I don't know. But
they all sound like Smokestorm. That's not true.
Like a little donut with my. Let's go, Helgar. Have a little tribble coming over here. And the last one, something that got heated debate and heated arguments, even by me, which I really shouldn't have even bothered in a way, but the Day in the Life thread. I have gotten over this, that people might, and I've started to see the goodness in this. Basically, Sonny posted a recording of his entire day, almost start to finish with some stops in between. And he did that, which was interesting, but not very well filmed. That was my problem. That was one of my biggest problems, and I didn't really coherently explain myself on the thread, probably because I didn't really understand it. What I didn't like about the videos until I realized, I mean, it was a good effort. And it started out, the concept was astronomical, because now Dr. Gumar is doing it, or did it, Swoops did it, and Swoops is my favorite because she has animals, and I love the animals! And, I think, did Veritas post his up yet?
He hasn't put it up yet, I don't think, but he's planning to.
And you're gonna do one?
Well, it is noticeable that they are all US ones so far.
They don't allow cameras in Britain.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
It's V for Vendetta all over again.
Yeah, I was going to say it's our fascist police state. I mean, the only cameras that are allowed are the CCTV cameras that are watching our every fucking move. It's an invasion of my human rights.
Or Hugo Weaving's cameras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some really trite quote to come out with from V's Vendetta, but I can't off the top of my head.
All I can remember... I haven't seen the movie. I've only read the book, so...
A government should be afraid of its people... No, hang on. Yes, a government should be afraid of its people, not the other way around. Yeah.
Good government. So that's that. Definitely check out A Day in the Life if you got some time to spare, because it might take a little while, but it's worth it. I learned some things, and I think that was my biggest problem with The Sunflower as well, is I didn't learn anything, because I know Sonny so well, because he represents himself so well in the IRC, but I don't know Doc or Swoops as well as I know Sonny.
Sure.
Probably because they're not on they haven't been on a 140 episode podcast or something.
Well, give it time with American Nightmares, you never know. But
Achievos.
Yeah, exactly. Achievos unlocked as well. One thing that really stood out for me was the fact that this all started because Gravy was talking about moving over to the US,
mm-hmm.
And Sonny wanted to show him that life is just as full of bullshit over
it. I don't know if that's exactly what he meant. I don't think he wanted to show, because he wanted to show Gravy how life is. He didn't want to say, oh yeah, your life stinks just as much as mine. I don't think that was his focus. At least that's not what I got out of it. But, he just wanted to show, this is my life, no BS, and that's what he did.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good, actually, in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly to do that. So let's move on to the event section. Have we covered all the reviews and UGC you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
Superb. So there's kind of three ongoing events that we would just wanted to quickly highlight. By the time you listen to this, you might not have very long to get prepared for it, but on Saturday night of this week, so Saturday the 6th of March, 5th of March.
Isn't that when V for Vendetta takes place, or...?
That's November the 5th.
Oh, 5th yeah, November. 5th of November. Guy Always Fawkes, remember, or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly that.
Always remember the 5th of November. Okay, go on. Sorry.
That's when a Spanish gentleman tried to blow up our parliament, and therefore, for some reason, we've decided to celebrate that over the last 400 years. Brilliant.
but on fours of three.
But in fours, moving on. Yes, we're having a Forza event on Saturday, 5th of March, 10 p.m. GMT. So you'll have to do your own time zone conversions.
You're not going to do it for them?
Darn straight, I'm not going to do it.
just to put in time zone converter, that's what I do.
I should put it
on Google. But no, I was just talking to other people.
Yes, no, you're absolutely. Yeah, it's. Go to Google, type in time zone converter.
I can do it for you if you're on Eastern. It's not 8 o'clock. It's 10 or 5 o'clock. If you're this, you're on this. And I'm not going to go through the whole process because we might have some Australian noob tubers that want to play.
They want to play, and it'll be like 6 in the morning or something for them.
Yeah.
I initially set this one up to be sort of like a structured championship, but I don't think we're going to have enough people for that. So it's going to be a bit more of a Gears and Beers style social.
So please, if join in, because
yes.
we want to bring. I mean, shouldn't say we want to, because there's a lot of people who want to. But bring back events and just actual get-togethers is something we definitely want to do, and I would like to see more of it. So I'm busy this weekend, so I can't make it, but you'll see Lil G.
And do you own a copy of Forza Motorsport?
I wish. Mail me a copy. It'll probably not make it by Saturday.
No, exactly. Exactly. So what's the other gaming event that we were going to talk about?
Snake has a Marvel vs. Capcom 3 NT or NoobTube tournament, and it's just a little tournament. You get a month of the Marvel versus the Marvel Digital Comics if you win, and you have to sign up by sometime in the night on this Saturday, but you don't have to. We're not playing all at the same time. Sunday, March 6th. Okay, this Sunday you have to sign up, but he's just gonna have us pair off, and then you pee on each other, and then you play, and then you say, okay, Snake, this person won, this person lost, and it's just an elimination like that, and I'm joining because I finally got a copy of Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but I'm probably not gonna win.
Cool. So it's, in a way, it's kind of a bit like the old Street Fighter ladder, isn't it?
Yeah. We need to have a if only MVC wasn't so frantic, we would have a MVC dojo, I'm guessing.
Dojo, yeah.
But it's too those frantic. Even the pros don't know how to, or at least the pros on NoobTube don't know how to use the characters that well yet.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember when Street Fighter 4 came out? That game just ate the forums, didn't it? I mean, I never played it. Well, me either, but you know, there was dojos, there was
well, it was pyramids, a huge game. I mean, it's Street Fighter 4, it's in 3D.
Yeah. But I don't think any other game has actually
done that recently.
Yeah, exploded that way. Yeah, Gears.
But Gears was much more a trickling effect. I hope it does the same. I will get Gears 3 if it does the same thing. It better. And you'll have to get. I will make you get Gears 3.
Oh no! I'm Gears 3 is going to be a pre-order for me. I mean, even just the mode where you get to play as a ticker, that sounds cool to me.
You want to know something else? I've taken up. You want to hear something really weird? I have both a copy of Gears 1 for PC and Gears 2. I have barely touched any single player.
Really?
Yeah. I need maybe one day. Do you still have Gears 2?
Of course, yeah.
We could do that someday, co-op. That would
work.
And
then maybe record the dialogue and make it into. Anyway, moving on.
But last event is Movie Club. I put down on our thing Superman, which was technically this week's movie, but since I post the new movie on Fridays, Movie Club number 8 is going to be Barton Fink, which I'm hoping someone comments on, because when I pick anything obscure at all, the numbers go down big time, but and seeing as Barton Frank was another not-so-successful Coen Brothers movie, I hope someone's seen it, though. And please, people, I'm asking you very nicely. I always pick Netflix movies because I'm not that mean. I'm not that mean to you. I wouldn't make you buy a movie unless you live in another country because I hate you. But other than America and Canada, that is, because North America is the best. Well, wait, does Mexico have Netflix? No, it doesn't. Okay, so Canada and America are the best countries in America.
This show
they
is
have
over.
Netflix. Okay. But seriously, speaking, please comment, because I do spend time, even if it's just like, I like this movie. Because like, even Epp, he does that to some extent, but he does it consistently. Now, I picked the Hudsucker Proxy and he didn't comment because he probably hasn't seen it, and he doesn't have Netflix because he lives in Japan. I'm perfectly fine with that. But if you have Netflix, give these movies a try, or if you've already seen the movie, try it out. And I might have this episode up before I put up the thing, so the next week's is Barton Fink. Should I talk about Barton Fink at all?
Let's leave that to the thread.
Okay, I need to work on my thread skills anyway, because I just put stuff from Wikipedia. I need to work on that, so I'm going to work on
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, that's what I call it. You have a problem with that? Wikipedia, it's like Wikipedia. It's a joke. Just go on. It's not even funny. It's just I sometimes pronounce it that, and I was trying to play it off. Okay, so that's the end of our episode, and we're about an hour mark, so we made it pretty good, even though...
That's not bad. Not bad by our standards.
So, we got some announcements for you. We got, first, as always, follow us at... Is it... I thought it was just Little G. Is it Call Me Little G?
Yeah, there is the this
on Twitter.
My online name sitting sort of mind reading pixie that goes around 5 minutes ahead of me into every single form of social media, taking Little G as a name.
See, it's so calling me Little G on Twitter.
So it's call me, yeah. So that's the same as on Xbox Live, same as on everything else. I can't be Little G.
You will. And I am Mixed of Zombies on Twitter, because no one cares about a crappy movie title. And now we have a special little Twitter announcement. We have our own Twitter at ntcomcastv3, just like that. Follow us on Twitter, and you will get... I'll put the episode... We recorded the episode after on Twitter, after this, so people know. Episode recording dates, miscellaneous info, like what? Like, we'll probably... Like, I don't know, miscellaneous info, like, Penfold.
It'll be miscellaneous. Tits. Yeah, pictures of Penfold listening to the
and
show.
Does, like, Little G.
Does he give the show thumbs up or thumbs down?
Little RG when he is, or he or she is there.
Yeah, she, yeah, exactly.
Is it all becoming so real?
Scarily so.
But, and most importantly, guest info. We will.
Yes.
We will announce our guests on Twitter, and you can add us, tweet back to us your questions, or you can send us an email at comcastv3@gmail.com. Also, feel free to email comcastv3@gmail.com any of your questions and or suggestions for topics and like UGC or anything we missed, because I mean we try to get the full range of the forums, but sometimes we miss stuff.
Yep.
And so hopefully, you know, that will work out. Also, the road to 20 is a little complicated because I'm pretty sure our download statistics are broken, so if you can get us a download, if someone knows of a good download statistic thingamajig, that would be most assuredly thankful for, because I think ours is broken. I could be wrong on that, but if we are, you still have a lot. If it isn't broken, we have a little while to go on the road to 20, so keep it up, and if it works, then I'll tell you, and if it doesn't, tell me. And
yeah,
finally...
We're not even 10 episodes into our road to 20, and already the wheels are falling off. So we need,
So if you have a download aggregator or whatever it's called, please to, you know, tell me something that's free too, because I'd rather not pay for it, because I'm cheap like that. Also, or it's like $2. I'll put the dividends on $2. But anyway, so. We have a little contest for the next month. So on March 3rd, which is today, or we should do March 4th, March 4th, which is tomorrow. We're recording this on a Footage Day, if you didn't figure it out. But, and what?
No, carry on.
But, from March 4th to April 4th, we will have a contest where I'm giving away a copy of Wallace and Gromit Adventures Episode 1 for the PC. Because I already have it. Well, I shouldn't even say what. But I'm giving away that. And in exchange, there's a little give and take. You will hopefully find us, make us. We don't want you to find one because we'll just get, like, naked pictures. For a new image for our Twitter RSS, our Twitter feed, our RSS feed, and our iTunes image. So we need two pictures. The Twitter feed doesn't really make into it because it scales automatically. But I need an iTunes by 600 by 600 pixels, and one for the RSS image, which is RSS feed image, which is 144 by 144 pixels. So hopefully we get some creativity out of there. And I think, and this will be for a month, so April 4th, hopefully we'll have some stuff going on. And even if you're not an expert, I still want to see it, because, you know, who knows? A
bit of creativity never...
Because I'm not an expert at Photoshop. I mean, look at our image right now. That's the reason why we're having this contest.
Outsourcing, that's what we're doing.
So, yeah, that's for sure. So, also, one last announcement. This is just a side note. Next week's episode will kind of be, in a way, it won't be posted on the weekend. It will be posted after next weekend. So, take that for what it's worth, because I'm going to be on spring break.
Spring break!
So that is the end of the episode, and we've said all our little things, so I guess we got to say goodbye.
Yep. So thanks ever so much for listening, everybody. And yeah, this is Little G signing off and saying have a very nice evening, even if it's not evening where you are right now.
Okay. And this is next up a zombie saying, God. So that's the end of the show. End of the show. Really big shoe. No. Goodbye.
Bye bye.
It's a song about being happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
I don't think you're happy enough. That's right. I'll teach you to be happy. I'll teach your grandmother to suck eggs. Now, boys and girls, let's try it again.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
If and you ain't the granddaddy of all liars, the little critters of nature, they don't know that they're ugly. That's very funny. A fly marrying a bumblebee. I told you I'd shoot, but you didn't believe me. Why didn't you believe me?
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, 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 joy, joy, joy.